Lord have mercy.
So welcome to the Dude Catholic Podcast. I'm your co-host Adrian here with a bunch of men who know the reason why there's Pop-Tarts and no Mom-Tarts is the pastryarchy. They are starting with
Memo,
Javier,
DG,
KG.
That's Kyle and Dennis. Shading it, Grady.
LGBTQ, LMNOP.
Coming at you hot from the East Coast.
That's right, from Buffalo.
East Coast.
Where wings are plentiful.
Today we are talking about something we, according to the patriarchy, have no business talking about, and that is abortion.
That's right, but do we care?
Heck no. I was going to say hell no, but I'm not going to. Because it's a family-friendly podcast, you potty mouth people.
That's right.
You're like the cleanest guy here.
Now I know.
All right. Well, that's good to know. We can say the stuff, you know, kind of like I used to tell my students when I used to work in Catholic high schools, was, I'm pretty clean. I will allow certain things that are in the Bible. I used to tell the kids that hell, ass, and damn were acceptable in my classroom, just to be careful how they use them because they don't want to damn their ass to hell. You're all weak. The scripture today comes from
the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verse 41 following. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the child leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?"
Delicious.
You know, every time I hear that gospel, all I can think about is comparing it to 2 Samuel 6 in the Old Testament. It kind of, not only is it a tremendously pro-life scripture, but it encompasses pretty much all of Catholicism, really. Marian devotion, the fact that, you know, what we believe is the fullness of the truth. You've got in 2 Samuel 6, King David dancing around the tabernacle because it was just brought to Jerusalem in glorious exaltation. What is it that the tabernacle of my Lord should be brought before me? He leaps with joy, dances around it, and then they have it held there for 3 months, just like Mary came to visit her cousin Elizabeth. And obviously in the gospel that was just read, you have Saint John the Baptist being kind of blessed by our Lord, prepared for his mission as the greatest man to ever live, and then Mary stays with her cousin for 3 months. You know, what is it that my Lord should be before me? And we know that Jesus is the true tabernacle. So if that's not pro-life, I don't know what is.
Amen.
I'm very much pro-Mary. You know, that's one of the things that I was kind of talking to someone about. A recent convert happened to be speaking to them on via the interwebs. We're only active on Instagram, really, in the Dude Catholic podcast account. I tend to ignore the Facebook one, but we were talking about that, and I brought that up, that it's just the Ark of the Covenant is it's filled with mere signs of Jesus. And even for something that was just going to have mere signs, symbols of God, God had very specific directions, particularly being made of the purest gold. And so it just kind of makes sense that Mary would be conceived without original sin. And it's one of the things that oftentimes gets ignored by a lot of people until you get into the nitty gritty of Catholic theology, you know, because it's just one of those things that's a given. Like, we just accept that, you know, there's not that much digging into theology that's done by the common folk, you know, until you're actually pressed to produce some scripture that points back to why that's even possible. And then you find something like this, where there's a symbol that comes hundreds and hundreds of years before God was even conceived in the womb of Mother Mary. You know, so it's just one of those mind-blowing things that some might say, okay, we're going kind of far away from the main topic of abortion right now. But man, it's just kind of a nice little golden nugget to have here at the beginning of the podcast, because it talks about the sacredness of what's happening inside a woman's body from the moment of conception.
Absolutely. And think about what you have in the tabernacle, right? In the Old Testament, because those are signs, those are prefigurements. You've got the manna, the bread, you've got the tablets, the word, and you've got the priestly staff of Aaron, the priesthood. And then in Mary's womb, bringing the God-man, he is the true priest, right? Staff of Aaron, high priest. He is the word of life, and he is the bread of life. So it all comes back to life.
You know, I've also heard too from a famous woman here in Buffalo that that works in the pro-life field, if you will, that a lot of people, they have, premarital sex in summer. And by the time October comes, they realize that they're pregnant and they seek out an abortion around that time. So October is like one of the busiest months for abortionists, is what I've been told. And that's why October is, or at least, again, based on that information, it seems that's why October is considered a pro-life month. And we do the 40 days for life, which is this group that gets together for 40 days and basically does hour by hour, right, vigil in front of the abortion mills, Planned Parenthoods, etc., to intercede on behalf of those unborn children and the mothers and everyone else involved, right? Because everyone's affected by it, and it's not just women. It's not just the child. It's actually men as well. And men have a significant role in it, as they're the primary cause of the child existing in the natural sense. And therefore, men are also the primary reason, what I've heard, to why women get abortions, because the men push them to abortion. And so men need to stand up. Right. Stand up for the 40 days for life during the month of October and go out and pray in front of the local Planned Parenthood abortion mill. I know, Javier, you've done that. KG has done that. Myself, I'm sure Guillermo and Adrian have done that too. And hopefully more men can get up and do that. And not just for October, but for every month, because every month children are being slaughtered in the womb and men need to stand there and be the soldiers for these children and the women. Right. And we can go back to the theology, maybe, if anyone wants to chime in there regarding how the serpent came in and tempted the woman in the garden. Right. And the man didn't do anything about it. Right.
Ooh, that's one of the ways that I used to start my religion class, talking about Genesis chapter 3. You know, like I told the kids, like, you know, like, where was the man during this whole thing? You know, if you think about it, like, he was born, he was wed to like the hottest woman on earth. Where do you think he's going to be? You think he's going to be hanging out with the monkeys? Like, no. Although monkeys might be fun, like, you're going to be hanging out with your hot wife. That's who you're going to be with. You know, and so when it comes to that scripture, I'm like, that's one of the things that we have to look at when we're looking at Genesis specifically, you know? Well, everywhere in the scripture, but I zone in on Genesis because oftentimes it's dismissed as a myth. And it is a myth, you know, like I think we dismiss myths too easily because people say, oh, if it's not 100% accurate, then it's not true. But it's just another way of telling the truth. And there's a lot of stuff that's not said in Genesis that matters so much. Like the man was right there. And it actually does say that in Genesis chapter 3. It says that Eve took the fruit, ate it, and gave some to her husband who was with her. So the whole entire time, Adam was kind of like a bad version of Joseph, who didn't say anything, you know, but Joseph comes in, says nothing, and does all the right things. Adam says nothing, and then does the wrong thing. you know, and this part right here is ridiculously important, because one of the questions that I was going to ask everyone before we really got deep into this stuff was, what the heck do Five Guys know connection to the burger chain? What do we have to do with something, an issue that faces a lot of women? You know, a lot of times people try to cut us off because, let's face it, we have a penis, so we have no business talking about this stuff. It's all right. No need to get squirmish, fellas. So the man does nothing, you know, and that's the problem. You know why? Because women are so capable. I saw this comedian talking about women can do everything, you know, and then she says, shut up. Don't tell him the secret. You know, it's like, yes, women can do it and almost anything, you know, let's not be crazy, but it's like saying that men can do everything and women can do. No, we can't. We can't, you know, like there's just some obvious things. And if you don't agree with that, then I don't know what you're doing listening to this podcast in the first place, but you know, like we're different. There's things that we can't do and there's things that we can do. The thing that we must do is protect. That's the one thing that Adam didn't do. Yeah. You know, he stood there idle as the serpent threatened his wife.
Yeah.
And one of the main functions that we have as men is to be the protector of the domestic church.
And one of the things you need to do to protect is pray, right? It is such an incredibly masculine thing to do. I mean, there's a femininity aspect as well. The feminine genius has its role. But as men of God, you know, one of the things that drives me up a wall is, and by the way, you know, the viewers, you know, don't know me from Adam yet, but I'm an adult convert. You know, I don't consider myself a revert, although I was raised in the faith, right? So I think that maybe sharing a short testimonial of my journey to the pro-life movement can be relatable to a lot of people. You know, one thing that drives me up a wall is when I walk in as a new convert to Catholicism and I'm learning about adoration and all these incredible prayer devotions, you walk in and it's all women there.
Yeah.
And it's like, how that's not going to work, especially if men are called to be the leaders, the providers and the protectors, as Adrian is saying. And so there's a lot that we as men need to do to pick up that ball again. But my testimonial is, speaking of hot women, I was dating my now wife, 2016, and she went away for for the weekend. And I was like, oh, what am I going to do? I hang out with you. Like, that's what I do now, is gaga over her. And she's like, yo, hun, why don't you harness your inner pure Giorgio Frassati, go on a journey, go, yes, you know, do something, go to the local abortion mill. And here in Buffalo, I think this speaks to how out of touch society is today. We have a birthing center that gives birth to children in the front door and murders them in the back door.
Ooh,
yeah, it's not a Planned Parenthood, but that's what they do.
Yeah,
and that's, so to Dennis's point about the 40 days for life, right? In October, they, you know, hour by hour, you sign up for a shift. Well, here I am. I just got up on the pro-life movement. My now wife gave me Abby Johnson's Unplanned book. Nice. I read it. I'm up to speed. Oh my goodness, there's this like intense spiritual warfare going on at the gates. You never know what's going to happen. There's been like bombings. There's been bad messaging, like pro-life people that mean well, but have these really intense signs showing aborted fetal parts, things that aren't necessarily going to turn people on to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I walked in. I didn't sign up for the hourly shift. I just showed up. And first time ever at an abortion mill. And this is definitely for anybody who's been a soldier on the front lines for a while, you know, this is unheard of. I go there. A woman walks up to us. Maybe she got pregnant in the summer. And she comes up and she says, hey, I just want you guys to know that because you were here, I decided to keep. And by the way, I'm holding twins.
Oh.
Wow. Ooh. Dude. Wow.
And then I get a call I get a call a month later, and the head of the Buffalo pro-life movement calls me and says, hey man, we don't know you from Adam, but we just want you to realize that in the multi-decade history of the Buffalo pro-life movement from its origins, That is the first double save in our history. And we'd much rather have the lady that we actually know, the older lady that I was next to when this happened, come and give a talk, but she's sick right now. So you're up, kid. We need you to give the keynote speech at our annual dinner, rally the troops, get them inspired to continue supporting life. And then I'm just thinking, all glory to God. I'm not qualified, but God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. So that's my testimonial as somebody who didn't know.
That's awesome. Wow. That's powerful.
It's one of my favorite Google Teresa quotes right there.
That child, those children may be 7 or 8 years old now then, huh?
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you know, I did a ton of pro-life work, and I mean, I'll share some stories eventually, but I want to go back to what you guys were talking about and what Adrian hit on pretty directly, which was having males involved, you know, the guy. And statistics are very clear that if men, especially the fathers who impregnate these women, would get involved and tell these women, hey, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be part of the child's life. I'm going to help you raise that child, regardless of whether I'm going to be by your side or not. We're going to get married. That most of those women would choose life, right? Which is really sad, but also very telling of how we've dropped the ball as men, right? We could talk about abortion and we could say, yeah, women shouldn't have abortions, but we also, and when they shouldn't, we have the right to say that because it's objective murder of a human being. But we also need to kind of pick up the slack. Maybe not us directly, but indirectly for our own kind, to call each other out and say, hey, man, like, what are you doing? Like, why'd you abandon that girl? You know, like, you should have been there for her. You know, she needed you. Another thing I want to talk about is obviously life. Kind of take this back to life and life being the most fundamental right that we have as human beings. Right? Life is always worth living. Right? Life is, you know, full of dignity, full of, it's unparalleled. Its worth is unparalleled. And so I say that it's unrepeatable, right? There will never be another human being that is Adrian, that is Memo, that is Kyle, that is Dennis, that is me. We're one and only. And because of the uniqueness that God has created us, every life is worth fighting for. Every single life is worth fighting for. That being said, this is why we fight for life, right? But our society has made it a, you know, identity politics, right? That, okay, you're not a woman, so you have no, this is not your arena, this is not your platform, you have no right to say anything about this issue because you're not the one getting pregnant, you're not the one giving birth and going through, you know, pregnancy, morning sicknesses, and all that. It's crazy though, because when we think about murdering children, and obviously we've looked at that, like in the Holocaust, we've looked at that and many other genocides and stuff like that. We always agree as people that that is completely evil and wrong. Yet when it comes to abortion, we cannot agree, all of us, not in this room or on this podcast, but as a people, that abortion is murder. Why is that? Well, because of this whole identity politics that women have rights and, you know, it's her choice, her body, and we package it in this beautiful way where it's all about rights and we forfeit the rights of the human child. What about that baby's rights, right? And we just focus on women and their rights and their right to choose, but we forget that there's another human being involved, which is really sad, right? But in any other circumstance, that would be considered murder. You know, it's crazy. When I first started doing pro-life work, people were really sold on the fact that, you know, that the fetus wasn't a human being. That was the argument, you know, prove to me that it's a human being. Now it's like, unquestionable. Science has come out and some backing up the evidence that it is a human being, right? But now we don't care. We don't care if it's a human being or not. Okay, it's a human being. Who cares? What about a woman's rights, right? The woman's rights, you know, surpasses the rights of the child or the right to life, which is really sad. Anyways.
And Javier, can you give a little story? Because you taught at an all-girls high school in the summer, the same high school that I'm forgetting her name, forgive me, but the famous woman who married the prince, Meghan Markle, right? She attended that high school as well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that she went there too and sort of Tyra Banks. Well, yeah, but that school was just extremely pro-choice. And it was just...
I remember you telling me that you had a discussion with the girls in the classroom on abortion, and they all admitted that, yeah, we know it's a human being, but we don't care.
Yes. My memory was failing me there. Yeah, that's exactly what happened. That they all admitted that, yes, that is a human being, but the woman's rights surpass the rights of that human being within her. I mean, think about that. That is ridiculous.
That's scary crap right there.
It is. And it's crazy because, you know, when you go to the Holocaust and you talk about the Holocaust, everyone agrees that that was blatant murder, right? Massacre. But when it comes to abortion, we can't. We can't. Why? Because of some political ideology, because of some, rights that were being suppressed. You know, women's rights have been suppressed. Women have been suppressed, and now they need to be liberated. And this is one way they're going to be liberated. It is a bunch of nonsense. And it's really sad because who's paying for it? Children.
You know, I like the fact that you bring up the nonsense part of it. There's a comedian that's been on that's been in the public sphere a lot more recently than before, Dave Chappelle.
Yeah,
you know, he's been saying a lot of interesting things as of late. But in one of the other specials, I think it went, I don't know, maybe it's just me thinking this that no one noticed it. But he said something ridiculous that pointed to the ridiculousness that is abortion. That is that argument that I was trying to kind of bring out, you know, by saying that we're men. What business do we have talking about it? To that, he said, it's true that men don't have a right to talk about abortion, though something else must be true. He explains, gentlemen. That is fair. And ladies, to be fair to us, also believe that if you decide to have the baby, a man should not have to pay. That's fair. If you can kill this child, let's just say that, I can at least abandon him. It's my money, my choice. And if I'm wrong, then perhaps we're wrong. Yeah, think it out for yourself.
Yeah, I remember that.
Go ahead.
Real quick, I love how pro-life activist Lila Rose posted that clip of that
she did
that part, yeah, and she got a lot of flack for it.
Well,
just
done,
because man. Just because it's Dave Chappelle and he says bad words, come on, she's making the point, and it's a good point that he made, but she's just reposting it. No, thank you. And did you want to continue?
No, that's good. That's good. Okay. Cool, man.
So, all right, yeah. I want to go back to what you were saying about the men's role.
Yeah.
So I just question, is it a woman's issue? I mean, she didn't get pregnant without a man. So it's not like men aren't part of the equation. Of course we are. So we at least, quote unquote, have a say in it. Now, about the men's role, I don't know if we have sufficient time. I wanted to share this story. I really enjoy sharing this story because
we'll return after these messages.